All right, here we go. My name's Jeff Kay, and you're listening to episode 64 of the West Virginia Surf Report podcast. Before we get into this one, I want to give you a little update on my previous episode, episode 63, a Patreon episode, where I spent nearly 30 minutes ranting and raving about my check engine light in my car. If you haven't heard it, you should check it out. It's the ravings of a madman. My check engine light is on, and there's many frustrations surrounding that, and I break them down for you in episode 63. So, anyway, when I ended that episode, I was waiting on a call back from a Chevy dealership, and I got the response that I expected, not the response that I was hoping for, mind you, but the response that I expected, and that is no response. They haven't called me back. They never called me back. I don't understand what goes on in this. You can't get anybody to do anything. Nobody follows through. Everybody's half-assed, and you can't, you know, every promise is broken. I don't understand what has happened. I don't understand. So you call them, and you go to voicemail, and they say, leave a message, and we'll call you back, you know, and then nobody ever calls back. So I don't know, I don't even understand, why does it go to voicemail when you're calling to make an appointment to give them a lot of money, you know? Could I make an appointment to, like, you know, give you, like, hundreds and hundreds, maybe even $1,000, please? Hang on a second, you know, and put you on hold. So this thing, I don't understand. I don't understand what goes on in this world. I left a message. They never called me back. That's standard, and that's what I expected. Tony said, why don't you go on their website and make an appointment? I said, you can do that? She goes, yeah, you can go in there and make an appointment for the garage, you know, to get some work done. I said, all right, I like bypassing the humans. Whenever there's an opportunity, every self-checkout in this world will be right where I go. I mean, if there's an opportunity to bypass humanity, I'm all in it, all on it, all up in it. So I went on there, and I think it said next available appointment, 10:30 a.m. December 4th, I think. It either said the 2nd or 4th. I don't remember. But this was on November 18th when I was trying to make. My check engine light is on November 18th, and it's been on for a week, mind you. And there's a lot of frustrations, myriad frustrations. And I can't get anybody to look at it. So now it says, all right, in, you know, December, we'll look at it, you know. So, like, that doesn't work, you know. So now I got an appointment on Wednesday, this Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning at a garage. I need a real garage. That's what I need. I'm a man without a garage. I need to rectify that situation. So somebody told me this place is good. I don't know. Everybody's got, you know, everybody talks straight out their bunghole. You know, everybody's got these opinions and, oh, God. So, but I'm gonna test these guys out. And if it's good, if I feel like I'm not getting squeezed, then I'll keep going there. And then I'll have them, that'll be my garage. That's what I'm hoping for, that they'll be my garage. That's all I want. So anyway, I'll keep you updated on this important matter. I can't drive around with my check engine light on. It makes me insane. The car feels fine, but I don't like it. You know, you can call 911 if you like, but I don't like it. My dad said, don't worry about it. Half of America's check engine lights are on. It's like, I don't understand this new version of dad, because that's kind of shit that would have made you crazy, you know, all your life. Now you're like, don't worry about it. Everybody's check engine lights are on. But anyway, that's the update on that. Also, I wanted to tell you about my latest fixation. Bring you up to date on that. Veronica Mars, the reboot. Tony and I watched the first three seasons of Veronica Mars when it was originally on, when it was an actual TV show. On one of those weird networks, like, I don't know, the CW or the WB. You know, I don't know. UPN, maybe. Remember those weird, are they still around? Are any of those networks still around? The WWB. Remember that shit? Anyway, it was on one of those networks. It wasn't on one of the main four. But anyway, it was great. It was a really good show, and we enjoyed the living crap out of it. And then somewhere in the last 5 years, I think, it's hard for me to gauge time anymore. Seems like it was like 5 years ago. There was a movie where they got the whole cast back together, and it might have actually been in theaters. It seems like it was. I never saw it. And now they've got the whole gang back together, and they did a whole new season of the show on Hulu. So on Hulu they have everything. They have the original three seasons that was on the CW or whatever the shit, you know. And then there's the movie, and then there's the new season of the show. So I watched the movie the other night. It was fantastic. Enjoyed it. Oh, man, it was really good. And, you know, the premise is solid. She goes back to town to help somebody, you know, and she gets sucked back into it, you know. She's about ready to take this big high-powered... She graduated from law school. She's about ready to take some high-powered job in New York City. But before she can accept the job, she gets called back into her old little town of Neptune, I think. Is that what it's called? Neptune? I could be wrong. California. And she gets sucked back in, you know. And so that's what that was. And it's really good. The movie was excellent. And then I'm about two-thirds of the way into the season four. It's solid, too. It's really good. I mean, it's funny. It's really good. So if you're into Veronica Mars, or if you're not, you know, the premise, the original show was this high school girl, you know, helping her dad, who's a private eye, used to be the police chief in town. He got ran out. I don't know, it was corrupt, all kinds of corruption. He ends up setting up shop as a private investigator. She helps him. You know, at first it's unofficial. She's just helping him. So basically she's a high school private investigator. And that's what it was. It's sort of like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where it was about something. A lot of it was about height, just being in high school. And it was really good, well written and all this stuff. So it was a good show. If you're into Veronica Mars, check out the new Veronica Mars stuff. It's excellent. So that's that. So on Friday, Steve and I went to Cooperstown, New York, home of the Baseball Hall of Fame, and I had to take Tony's car because I was afraid to drive my car because the check engine light's on. So, but we went up there, took Tony's car, and it was fine. There was no issues on the way up. It was cold. There was snow everywhere. Not on the roads, but, you know, on everything else. The roads were clear. You know, snowy up in there. I mean, you're out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, this is like New England. I mean, this is rural, you know. And the GPS, I mean, we went up there many times, right? We used to go once a year. I've probably been to the Hall of Fame, I don't know, 7 or 8 times. I don't know, something like that, feels like. And, you know, it feels like you go up 81 North, and then you get on some other highway, and it takes you straight in there. It's out in the middle of, like, cow pastures, you know. And but now this time the GPS, we're using Google Maps, took us on all these back roads, you know. We're going through these little towns and stuff. It was pretty and stuff, but God, you know, it felt like it was unnecessarily complicated and convoluted. But anyway, we got there and it was I don't know, this town's like, it's like going back in time. It's like going back to the 1940s or something. The town is, it's like old you know, small town USA. It's got this main street, you know, it's got all these vibrant, you know, there's a lot of, the businesses are all open. It's not like most towns where they're, you know, where there's like a place where you can cash your check, you know, or, you know, pawn shops and maybe vape shops, maybe a tattoo parlor, you know. No, these are all like legitimate, you know, because it's a tourist town. And, but it's really nice. It's a legitimate, genuine small town, downtown, you know, just like in, you know, just like in a storybook type situation. Beautiful little town. Big lake there. Ah, it's fantastic. So, I swear to God, I turned that phone off. How in the hell is it chirping? I turned it off, and now it's chirping. Oh, my God. All right, let me power it off again. Sorry. But anyway, so we got there, no issues, and we went into the Hall of Fame. It cost $25 to get in. Carmela Soprano was the one who sold us our tickets. I mean, I'm pretty sure it was her. And so she was like, you guys, we asked if we could leave and come back, like go get a lunch or whatever. She goes, absolutely, you know, go to Mel's down there by the stoplight. She's giving us all advice. The best place in town. I'm like, all right. So, you know, she was like just jabbering on in her Carmela voice. So we go in there, and the guy goes, the way people usually do this is they do second floor, third floor, first floor. That's the recipe. I said, all right, thanks. So we go up there. Second floor is basically, it's about the players, you know, and it starts back in the early days, 1800s. And as you wind through, it has like all kinds of like equipment and trophies and, you know, I don't know, bats and stuff, you know, and it's got other stuff too, but it's interesting, especially the older stuff. And then as you go through, it starts to get up to like current day. I don't really, you know, I don't need to see like, I don't know, Scooter Jeanette's cleats, you know, I don't know. You know, it becomes less interesting as it gets nearer to present day. I like the old, like, say 60s and prior, but then it gets into the 70s, less interesting to me anyway. So but the third floor, I love the third floor. It's my favorite. That's where they have all this stuff from stadiums and stuff. They have like home plate, the original home plate, or the last home plate, I guess, of Ebbets Field in Brooklyn. And they have like a turnstile from the Polo Grounds in New York City. These old stadiums that are not there anymore, all kinds of advertising, signage and stuff. And I mean, that's my favorite part. And they have like microphones from, you know, old announcers and stuff. That's the stuff I like. Like, not so much the players, but the whole baseball experience. That's the stuff I like. So the third floor is kick-ass. I love it. Also, back down on the second floor, they have the Babe Ruth room. There's a whole room dedicated to Babe Ruth. I think there's a whole room. In fact, I know there is. Jackie Robinson and Babe Ruth. I think those are the only two that have their own room. Hank Aaron has a big, giant display down there, too, but I wouldn't call it a room. But anyway, down in the Babe Ruth room, they have his bowling ball and stuff like that. Like stuff that he, and like his golf clubs and shit, you know. That guy was like living large, man. He's like wearing crowns all the time. Like half the pictures, he's wearing a crown. I don't know what the hell's going on, you know. What is that all about? It's like the king of baseball. I think he'll start wearing it. I don't know. Not too many people wear crowns, but Babe Ruth did. And there's a couple of them in the Hall of Fame. You can look at them. There's also, they're playing all these videos of him, you know, being interviewed back in the day. And, the Babe Ruth room is interesting, and the Jackie Robinson stuff's good. And a Hank Aaron, you know, all that stuff's good. But third floor, that's where the magic is. That's the stuff I love. So we hung out up there. Now they have a baseball card thing, like a whole, it's an exhibition about baseball cards, which is fairly new. We haven't been there in several years. We used to go yearly, as I said, and we've gotten off track. And since we were there, they added this big baseball card exhibition, and so that's cool. And inside the baseball card section, they have these booths. They have two of them where you can make your own baseball cards. Like, you can step inside this thing. It's almost like a photo booth, but it's computerized. And you just do it yourself, you know. You don't, there's no other humans involved. You step inside this thing, and you can take pictures of yourself, and then it puts it you know, as soon as you you can take pictures, and if you don't like the way the picture, you can just delete it and then do it again. And once you get a picture that you like, you can choose the team you want on the baseball card, the position you want it to say, well, and your name, of course. You put your name in, you choose your team, and then it asks what position you play. And then it emails you. You put your email address in, and it emails you like six baseball cards from different eras, starting back in like those old cigarette cards from like 1907 or whatever, 1911. You know, those old baseball cards that were in cigarette packages, and up to like a current card and everything in between. There's like a 65 tops in there. There's a 75 tops. I don't know. There's various through the years. So, and it has your picture on it. So, of course, we got in the thing. There's like nobody around, you know. The place is not exactly packed in the early part of our visit there. So there's nobody around. So we're in there doing all kinds of goofiness, not using it the way it's supposed to be. So I'm making all these stupid expressions and doing all this, and we're laughing our asses off, you know, standard knucklehead fashion. So then we go down to the first floor. That's where all the plaques, you know, the Hall of Fame, hallowed ground or sacred ground. You are entering sacred ground. This is where all the plaques for all the people that are members of the Hall of Fame are in. That's kind of interesting. The first five, you know, I always go look at the first five. I can't remember. I never remember who they are, but I think I can rattle them off. Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, Walter Johnson, Honus Wagner, Christy Mathewson. There you go. That's the first five people that were ever elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame. So they have those. They have a big shrine for those. That's the original class, you know. Then they have everybody else. And I always go look at Johnny Bench, my favorite player. And I look at, you know, some of the great players of all, you know, through the 30s, 40s, back in that era. Like Ted Williams, Teddy Ballgame. You know, that guy had like 511 home runs, and he was in the armed forces for, I don't know, like five seasons worth. He had 511 home runs, and I think he missed five seasons because of World War II and the Korean War. He was like a fighter pilot, Ted Williams. Yeah, that's crazy. But anyway, so we did all that. It was fun. We did go to lunch. We didn't go to Mel's. We went against Carmella's suggestion. Went to a pizza place. It was kick-ass. I don't know, it was a pizza by the slice type situation. Really good. Stuck it in the oven. Heated it up for us. Brought it out. It was fantastic. So that was good. No disappointment there. Went back in. Went to the gift shop. I didn't see anything. I wanted to buy a pub glass. That's what I wanted. With the Hall of Fame logo on it. They didn't have anything like that, you know? And they're like, what? They have all kinds of bizarre. I don't know why everybody wants these weird glassware, you know? I don't know. They have stuff that's just like, this is not even usable. I mean, I guess you could sit it on a shelf or whatever. But I wanted just an old-fashioned pub glass. They didn't have that. You know, I didn't see anything in there I wanted. So Steve bought a couple odds and ends. But and then I said, hey, let's go back up to that baseball card machine. So that was fun. He said, all right. So we went up back up to the third floor and did another session. And it was, and the second session was even more ridiculous than the first one. I was making all these, I was making a mockery of the whole thing. And it was fun. It was a blast. So that was it. I mean, we went through there. I don't know how long it takes you to go through the Hall of Fame. A couple hours, 3 hours maybe, tops. I mean, if you want to sit and look at every, you want to read every damn thing, you could spend hours and hours in there. Well, the second time, I forgot about this. See, we were up in those baseball cart booths, you know, doing our stupid shit. And these kids come along, like little kids. I'm like, move along, booger machine. You know, just get away from us. We got work to do here. It's like, why is there kids in here? The Baseball Hall of Fame is not, I don't know, it's not kid-friendly. I mean, I don't know. Everybody thinks, like this guy I work with, he's like, he was in Cooperstown recently, but he didn't go to the Baseball Hall of Fame. I'm like, what? Why? He goes, I just want to wait until I can take my kids. It's not about that. It's not kid. The kids don't know anything about Pie Trainer, Preacher Row, you know? I mean, I don't even know anything about Catfish Hunter. I mean, they don't know anything about that. It's not really a kid place. I don't know why people think that, I got to take my kids to it. It's not Disneyland. I mean, kids would be bored to tears in there. I mean, if you're a baseball historian, if you love baseball, and, I mean, if you had a kid that's, like, really, really into it, obviously, like me, I went in 1978 to the Baseball Hall of Fame. I was a little kid. And, well, not that little. But I went. And but I was like a freak, a baseball freak. It's a little bit different. I don't know, most kids. Anyway, I was like, get out of here. I was like, move along, little man. Yeah, important work to do here. And so anyway, we were under social pressure. Then the parents showed up, and they're like standing there waiting to get in these booths so they could make some cutesy bullshit baseball card. Oh, irritating. All right, so we left. That was fun. It was a good time. The Hall of Fame is kick-ass. They do a fantastic job with it. Every time I go there, I'm blown away. So then it's getting dark already because daylight savings time, it's ridiculous. It's like 3:30 or something, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's like getting dark. Steve goes, you want to head back? I said, why don't we go to that brewery? There's some brewery up there, Amagong or Amagang, or I don't know what the hell. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's this craft brewery up there, and we went there maybe like, Steve said it was 10 years ago. I don't know. I don't know how accurate that is, but we went there many years ago, and it was almost literally a shed, like a big white shed sitting in the middle of a field. And we took the tour, which was basically a big room, you know, and you know, that was fun, I guess, back in the day. And there wasn't much to it. They had a little tasting room. It was just basically like a sunroom, like a sun porch. And they did some, you know, tasting. And I remember, one of the things I remember about that place is they said, don't drink the beer. If you get a beer from us, don't drink all the way down because there's yeast in the bottom. There could be yeast in the bottom of the bottle. Like, what the shit's that? You know, I remember him telling us that. But anyway, this place has grown. It's like a complex now. It's unbelievable. It's got this fancy restaurant in there. It's big bar, that kick-ass like big old giant tasting room with all these taps. I mean, there's like they're doing like tours all the time, and I mean it's like a big old giant. It's huge. It's like a complex, and there's people in there eating dinner, wearing suits and stuff, fancy. And so we go in there, and they say, well, we missed the last tour. Last tour was at 4 o'clock, but we have a tasting at 4:30 if you're interested in that. And Steve said, what do you think? I said, let's do it. So the tasting, let's back up. When we were walking in, there was this guy out there smoking, and he had like a, he had a big old beard, and he had a ponytail, you know. He's out there smoking. And he goes, how you guys doing? We said, good, how are you? He goes, I work at the best brewery in the world. So every day is a great day. It's like, all right, more power to you, buddy. So we go in there. We sign up for the tasting. I assume it's free. No, it's $10 each. You know, more things have changed other than just the size of the place. So it's $10, but you get to keep the glass. All right, so that's fine. That's not a problem. So it costs $10 each. We do it. We sign up for it. It's at 4:30, so we have a few minutes to kill. Steve buys a bunch of shit in the gift shop. And 4:30, he goes, all right. And it's that guy from outside. He goes, all right, the tasting's getting ready to start over here in the tasting room. And it's just me and Steve. There's nobody else. So it's a private tasting. And Steve goes, can you just serve us up the IPAs? He goes, no, that's not the way it works. He goes, this is a tour. This is a guided tour through our whole. So he said, it starts with the light beers and heads. And by the end, it'll be the dark, high alcohol, winter warmers and stuff. So he starts out with cider. I don't like cider. It's bullshit. And it's, yeah, I can take the little, he gave me a little glass of it. You know, he gave us each I drank it, but I don't like that. That's not good. And then, you know, we started with some beers. They were good. But then, and he had a couple IPAs in the middle, which I love. You know, that's my wheelhouse. And then we get to the end, and he's telling us the background on all these things and the history of it and everything. And it's good. He's a cool guy. And we get to the end, and he starts serving up these bizarre, like these dark beers. One of them was made with coffee and blueberries. I was like, I don't know about this, you know. And it also, it was like 11% alcohol, really high alcohol. And I was like, I don't know. I drank it, you know. I drank my little mini glass full. But he goes, would you buy it? And I said, no, I would not, you know, never. And he goes, all right. So then the last one, this thing was like, this is ridiculous. This thing's made with maple. It tastes like you're drinking, I mean, it's like real thick, just solid black. And it's like you're drinking like log cabin syrup. It's like you're drinking a tumbler of log cabin syrup. So I guess it's nasty. I said, you can pour this down the sink. I took one sip of that and it was like disgusting. I don't like maple flavored shit. And this is all maple. I don't know why anybody, that's not even beer. It was like super high alcohol. I don't remember what it was, but it was like, I think it was above 11%. So anyway, he was cool. We took a selfie, the three of us, put it on Instagram if you want to see it. And I'll post a couple of those baseball cards somewhere, probably at the website. I haven't posted those yet. One of them makes me laugh, especially. All of them are ridiculous, but you know, I'll post those at the website. It was fun. It was a fun day. I love going up there. I don't know. It's all baseball. The whole town's baseball. There's all these shops up and down the street, all selling like autographed baseballs and memorabilia and stuff. Anything baseball related, you can find it there. The whole town is baseball geared, you know, and so. We love it. I love it. I don't know. I don't want to speak for Steve, but I love it. And we'll try to get back on the once a year trip up there. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes from my house. So anyway, we're at the end of this one. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to hear the Thursday episodes, well, I call it Thursday, but they haven't really been coming out on Thursday. But it's the Patreon episode, the extra bonus episode for patrons, like the last one where I was like losing my shit over my check engine light. If you want to hear that stuff, it's easy to do. Sign up for a patronage, which is a monthly donation. $4 will do it. It's not very much money. Put it on a credit card. You won't even notice it. Comes out at the first of every month, and you'll gain an extra bonus. Why do I keep saying free? An extra bonus episode every week. So $4 will do it. You can do it. You can sign up for whatever amount you want. That's completely up to you. But once you pass $4, it'll unlock that weekly bonus episode. So if you want to do that, that's patreon.com/JeffK. That's patreon.com/JeffK. Do it today. Sign up. And if you want to call our hotline, leave a message for me. Ask me a question. Whatever you want to do. 570-290-8151. I almost forgot. It's 570-290-8151. So leave a message 24 hours a day. Have a question for me. If you have a suggestion for me or any kind of comment, whatever you want to do, I'll probably use it in a future episode. And so call it today, 24 hours a day. Or Patreon's 24 hours. Man, we're round the clock, baby. There's no limits. And we're at the end of this thing. I have to be at work early today, so I'm gonna call it a day. Hope you enjoyed this one. And I will post, be sure to check the Surf Report website tomorrow, Wednesday, probably. I'll try to post some of those baseball cards. They're ludicrous. They're hilarious. And I'll see you guys soon. I'll see ya. Bye. Don't worry about it. Half of America's check engine lights are on.